USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top-quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic, hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
Warning. DC on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
My name is Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your funeral.
The city needs saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm not a cop anymore.
I'm from the future.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
Heroes. You're legends.
You're listening to DC on CW, the Arrow Edition on Rayman Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, take us mobile, download the Rayman Digital app. It's available on the iTunes App Store and the Google Play Store. Search Rayman Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher. Search DC on CW. Once you get there, leave us a review. We appreciate it. It helps the show out a lot. Tonight, we got a full house for the Arrow Edition. As always, I am your show host, Ryan Binn, and in the studio with me today is Bobby Doherty.
You say as always, but your percentages are low this year.
Yeah, shut up. Anyways, Bobby Doherty. We got Michael Flores.
Yellow.
And we got Steve Crouch.
What's up?
We got a full house of degenerates tonight.
Let's talk about boobs now.
Yeah, boobs and stuff.
That was the last 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We did talk about boobs. So today we are going to be blowing and breaking down Arrow Season 6, Episode 5, Deathstroke Returns. That's why Mike's on the show. Oliver helps Slade in an attempt to get Slade's son back. This is going to be, guys, I'm just going to warn you right now, this is going to be a blow festival. We're going to talk about Deathstroke and probably some more Deathstroke. And you know what? I think we may talk about Deathstroke. What do you guys think?
Yeah, on this episode?
No, I think we actually, he was just at the very end.
Oh.
Yeah. Spoiler. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. I think we all like this episode. So it's going to be a very good discussion. Mike might take 10 minutes out of his day and just talk about how amazing Manu Bennett is. And his man crush, his man crush Monday. Is that going to be your man crush Monday?
His body matches his talent.
Oh my God.
No.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
So what's like Jason Momoa must be just oozing with talent.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
My body matches my talent too. A little doughy around the edges.
Like the nice in the center, but like doughy.
Yeah, I got the best intentions.
Like every character in the Arrowverse.
This doesn't always come through.
Oh God. All right. So with that, guys, we're going to jump into some news. I've got an article here and we're going to talk about something else too as well. But the first one here, we'll jump into this article and it's your favorite thing to talk about, Bobby.
It's your favorite thing to talk about.
Oh, right. Arrow's Bruce Wayne, air quote, crossover, Stephen Amell reveals it's Bat Story. I get it. Bat Story. No. Batman trumps the Biebs every time. That is the weirdest start to an episode, a article. Weeks after the CW's Arrow treated viewers to a Bruce Wayne shout out series, lead Stephen Amell has detailed how he helped make it happen and how shocked he was to see it make air. The original version of that script, which came out of that before Comic-Con, had Oliver referencing a famous name. Amell shared the reporters on set Tuesday. I can't remember what the placeholder was. I think it might have been Justin Bieber, but I looked at it and thought to myself, this is a cool opportunity. So the Biebs, they were going to have the Biebs on, you know, Arrow. That makes sense, dude. I could see the Biebs. What would his superhero name be?
It would be continue the article.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm just asking a question. Jeez, I'm trying to, you know, have... Anyways, Amell ran his idea by Arrowverse overseer Greg Berlanti, who suggested the actor reach out directly to DC Entertainment Chief Creative Officer Jeff Johns. What does that guy know? Amell aimed to do just that at DC Comics Comic-Con Soiree. I said Soiree, right? What's up? but instead found himself in a four-way conversation with Warner Brothers.
What is it
Brothers.
Like to be your own fan club while you're on air?
You got to appreciate the small wins.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Sometimes I can't read.
Mom, like, I just said soiree.
Oh, my God.
Dude,
I'm...
Dude, look. We... All right, let me finish this article. Hold on, we'll get back to this. TV president Peter Roth, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment president Diane Nelson, and Warner Brothers Entertainment CEO Kevin, I'm not saying that guy's last name. I was like, I win some, you lose some, guys. I was like, guys, I have an idea. It will cost you nothing. I think it'll be really fun. It opens the door to a lot of possibilities. Amell recalls saying, because I've always thought that our iteration of Oliver Queen and the way that they built this character obviously has so many similarities to Bruce Wayne. And we've said that before on air. So Bruce Wayne and Batman. And so much of the inspiration of the early parts of our show was taken from the Christopher Nolan or the Nolanverse. So, I mean, we've said that before. We've said, hey, you know, Oliver pretty much is Batman, just not Batman. And we've always said that. And I think that was something that's cool that he's the one that kind of was like, hey, this is my idea. I mean, like, obviously he's, you know, Amell is thinking outwards. So later in the article, he says, I've always thought that Bruce Wayne would be an interesting ally on the show and even more interesting villain to Oliver, which just means that they don't like each other. The Arrow Star says, so anyway, I have this holy trinity of executives in front of me, and I pitched this idea, and I've got all my follow-up points, and Kevin, the guy's name that I didn't say, just goes, yeah, sure. I said, really? He said, yeah, that sounds fun. Do that. So we did. That's pretty cool, dude.
What it does do is it proves that Geoff Johns did allow them to do whatever the fuck they want.
Right.
That they just have to ask.
So I think what this does is, too, is that, first of all, you've got Stephen Amell asking for permission to do it.
It wasn't a rogue thing.
It wasn't. Like we thought. Or you that was the theory that you'd come up with. Also, too, what it means is now that they've approved this, that means that opens up a whole hell of a lot more for them to do. And I think ultimately, if we keep going the route that we're going and we're having these better seasons, and I think, you know, we get renewed for more and more seasons, this gives us an ultimate opportunity to pull more things into the Arrowverse. And I think, obviously, Amell wants to do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. This is his idea.
Yeah.
You know, if he's the one that said, hey, this is an awesome idea, and I think the fans would fucking go crazy over this. Let's do it.
I just like how Berlanti's a pussy and didn't want to go ask himself.
Ooh, damn. Did you hear that, Greg Berlanti? Bob said he wants to fight you.
But you know what I mean? It's just like, hey, why don't you ask?
Yeah.
You guys do that to me. Why don't you ask Mike?
Yeah, I don't, dude, I'm not going to ask Mike directly. I just have Bob ask. I'll be like, hey, Bob, ask Mike this thing. I don't ask him. No, you do it. That's cool. Like, no, it's cool. And I think what it does is it opens up, you know, way more opportunities with the shows. And I think for them to go, this is a win. So when Steven walks into there and says, hey, I want to do this. And Geoff Johns goes, cool, go for it.
Yeah.
I think, well, right there, it's Geoff Johns. I mean, what the fuck does he know about DC? Right. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, dude, that's like, oh shit, we've got free reign to do shit like this. Okay. Well,
yeah. Well, free reign to drop names.
Drop right. names.
They're well, not going to go too deep.
Well, yeah, but we don't know that. I mean, the idea, obviously, if Stephen Amell can walk in and say and pitch an idea and it goes through, you know, what other ideas are floating around in his head? You know, like what else can they do?
They've always given Stephen Amell that respect anyways, because he's the one who started the
entire
thing.
The shit, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be any of this.
I'm going to call this right now. We're not anywhere near it. I will guarantee at some point, depending on where we go, Bruce Wayne will show up.
All right. If that doesn't happen, you're watching all of Supergirl.
All right, cool. So like 7 years from now, I'll watch Supergirl.
I was like, that was the lamest fucking bet ever.
No, I want him
You'll
to watch
finish
that.
Your water.
I want him to watch this.
You need to stay hydrated, I guess. Okay.
Give him a time frame, Steve. Like, yeah. You know, if he shows up, the next day you have to sit down and binge watch all three seasons.
That sounds, now,
and it'll be a Patreon tier.
Nobody wants to sit and watch me watch fucking three
commentary while you're binging.
Live commentary from Ryan on the Patreon
not, no
tier.
Way, not agreeing. We will.
You'll end up liking it. That's
I'll be like,
happen.
Nah. Does she get naked in it? Oh wait, I can find that on Mr.
No, she already has.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
I know. Bob told me.
you know what, though? getting it back to the whole is Batman going to show up or not, I honestly think it could happen. I mean, look, they brought Superman in. It doesn't mean they need to give him an entire series right away.
Dude. Yeah, but the only difference there, Mike, is that Fox has the lockdown on that stuff still, right?
I think they had.
Yeah, but Gotham's a piece of poop,
well,
dude. Like,
regardless, there's still licensing.
Oh, sorry.
Licensing does come into play, but also a lot of things have changed since the other dude has stepped in.
Bro, Geoff Johns has a lot of fucking power, dude.
Yeah, and because they had no licensing right to Superman at all as well. Now, the Batman is a bit different. You're right, Steve, because there's already a show. And they don't want to pull.
Right.
They don't want to pull audiences.
Fuck that other show.
But the thing is that show is going to last 2 or 3 years. And I said this a couple weeks ago. Yeah. That show's going to last maybe another 2 or 3 years. Yeah. The Arrowverse isn't going anywhere. That's one show by itself on Fox.
Yeah.
We're talking 4 shows on the CW.
Soon to be 5.
Yeah. So this is the home of DC for the most part. And they can wait it out. Dude, they can wait it out 2 or 3 years and then bring him in.
Bro, the fact of the matter is that Mel's going to walk into that fucking thing and be like, yo, we need to bring Bruce Wayne in. And Geoff Johns is going to go, fucking do it. At this point,
they just got to do it right, though.
It's got to be done right. If you're going to cast someone, you got to do it right. You can't, you know.
If you bring in a big hitter like that, you got to do it right.
Hitter, dude. That's your biggest hitter in your fucking, like, you've got to do it right. You're right, Mike. You can't just willy-nilly fucking have Bruce Wayne show up. Yeah. So. Dude, it's cool. I think it's awesome that Amel's the one that came up with this idea. I think it's pretty badass. That means Amel is always thinking outside the box, which I like. That's why we all kind of like him.
He's really been the one that really pushed the brand forward.
Dude.
He's always been the one. He may not be the most creative side of things, like with the writing, but he does have the mouth where he says, this is what I would like to see happen. This is what I think would be a good idea.
Heroes and villains.
Yeah.
He's always pitching things.
Think about how, you know, there was a point where he was disgruntled about like how the season had gone and like his character and
they made changes
and they
fast.
Fucking changed it.
Yeah.
He is the one. Yes. You know, he started it all that we get it. Right. But at the end of the day, dude, he's the one that if he's got an idea, he could walk into that office and be like, yo, I want to do this. And they'd be like, fuck, that's kind of have to listen to the guy. Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's awesome. And I think that shows how much he cares about the brand and how much he cares about the DC shows on CW. So I'm excited, dude. I would hopefully Bruce Wayne shows up. I'm not I'm not fucking getting my hopes up. But at the end of the day, there's that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. He's showing up.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Next year.
You have to binge watch Supergirl.
I already have at the gym. I'm doing cardio. Swishing my hips.
He's got the weight band. That's what he does at the gym. So one of the things I want to talk about.
I don't like the view from over here.
You can see when you're behind the monitors, Bob, you miss all his disgustingness.
Yeah,
he does.
I just watched all the gyration.
There's nothing wrong with my hips.
And I was probably as unpleased as most of the girls on top of them.
Actually, I'm a top. Actually, just saying.
Power bottom.
Oh, you're a power bottom?
Yeah,
wow, that's
you're
weird.
A power bottom.
That's weird. I knew you were into that. So can we add him to the buy list on the network? So let's talk about the crossover. So they're starting to kind of hit us with the crossover marketing, you know, the four-parter. So one of the things that we're going to do here on DC on CW is we are actually going to do a two-part show. Mm-hmm. And essentially what the show is Lauren will be doing it's Supergirl and
Supergirl and Arrow will be airing on Monday.
And she will lead the show.
Yes.
So she'll be the lead. I will be in the chair for Supergirl, unfortunately. I will be here.
We will see Ryan's Supergirl cherry get popped.
My God. That got really sexual. And then the second
That's
show.
The guy who just fucking gyrated his hips into the chair.
Nobody can see that. You called it out. I could just gyrate. You don't have to say anything.
Pretty sure.
We saw it, and that's all that matters.
Well, I'm sorry that you guys got turned on by it. But the fact of the matter is the next show, which will air, I think, Tuesday, right? Will be
yes. We're talking TV schedule, not our schedule.
Right. Oh, right.
So yes, Tuesday will end up being Flash and Legends, which will be the final parts of the crossover. That Thursday, we will be doing 2 live episodes of DC on CW to cover the whole crossover.
Right. So we will be covering it, guys. We will all be here for it. I think it's everyone, right? It's everybody. Everyone on the DC on CW will be here, right?
Four of us.
Four of us. Cool.
Steve can't come.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, too bad. He'll just... Okay. Oh, that was a really sad... Okay.
You're the one that brought it up. I'm the one who had to reject him live on air.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
Thanks, Nick.
Ryan.
Sorry, guys. But no, so we'll have everybody here for the show besides Steve, and we will... I'm just going to let that, I'm going to hit that the rest of the show. So it'll be cool. I think we'll, you know, obviously I will be on Supergirl and it'll be my first time. And I think,
that just sounded funny.
He's just choking his way through it.
I'm trying. But it'll be good. I think it'll be a good discussion. So far, what we've seen about the crossover, I'm super excited about it. And it should be a fun time.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, so that's
yes, it will be.
Yeah, see. So with that, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about Arrow season 6, episode 5, Deathstroke Returns. But first, quick break.
Hercules.
Oh, sorry about the limo. Love the wheelchair. Might I suggest motorized?
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
There's no outcry. Let me tell you why, okay?
Yeah, shut up.
Because every 65% of my family is Hispanic, okay?
Okay.
What's the other percentage left? It's 65?
35.
35% of my family is redneck, okay? So out of 65% of my family, not one of them, and we talk all the time, not one of them gave a shit. I don't give a shit about Donald Trump.
You have things to do.
I'm tired of people speaking for me. I'm tired of it. I'm not a part of this. You know what my family's doing?
Working a real job they already have?
They're working or they're drinking alcohol and getting drunk.
There you go. American dream.
My tío Pancho works on cars all day and then gets fucking hammered and then bangs Bertha, his wife. That's what my uncle does.
Like a real American.
Yes. And his son Cesar and Cesar, guess what they do?
Same thing.
They work all day under a hood of a car. They go home, bang Berta, not their mother, the other one.
Jeez.
They wake up and do it again. They work 9 to 5. They bang their chicks. They drink. That's it. That's life.
God bless America.
Yeah. That's a life, right?
USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. For more details, go to USAopoly.com. That's USAOPOLY.com.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
Hey, Steve, did you know that Rayman Digital now offers a premium service?
That's right.
Besides the weekly free broadcast, Rayman Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, the best show, Supernatural to Crossroads, and more. So head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today.
I like how you don't promote you.
I'm on that other show. I don't need, it doesn't need promotion.
Look at that nerd, huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
And this is something that Supernatural, I don't think, has ever really had a big problem with.
Right.
All of its monsters, a lot of shows have procedural elements. We've talked about this before on the show.
There's a level of responsibility on his head as someone that is a metahuman and uses his powers for good.
She's force sensitive, but she's not a Jedi.
If you've been watching Rebels, you see that happening.
During a roundtable interview with reporters yesterday, The Flash executive producer Andrew Kreisberg revealed that Kevin Smith's...
However, race is important in the Dark Tower universe, and the relationship between Susanna Dean and Roland centers around the color of their skin.
Catch up on your favorite Rain Man digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rain Man Channel 001. Listen from the Rain Man digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we're back. In this segment here, we're going to talk about Arrow Season 6, Episode 5, Deathstroke Returns, or what I like to call this portion of the episode, Blow Deathstroke, is essentially what we're going to do, I think. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. Directed by Joel... Nova? Sure. Written by Ben Sokolowski and Spiro Skinsos. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Spiro Skinsos? Jesus. Who's naming these people?
At least you got Soiree right.
I did get Soiree right. Hell yeah.
Mom, how do I say this guy's name?
Okay. Okay, Bob. What's that guy's name?
Spiro Skinsos?
Exactly my point, Echo Bard. Anyways, so... As the title...
The title is Ryan Denton's DC on CW.
As the title says, we return with probably, quite possibly, the best character on the goddamn network show, Slade Wilson. We see Oliver answering the call of Slade to help him rescue. We saw that in the last episode. We saw that Oliver got a call from Slade. He needs his help. But, I mean... First of all, let's jump right into the whole trust thing, because I do want to talk about trust here. So let me point this direction, this question at you. So, apparently I can't say Savitar. let me point this question to you, Bob. Say, for example, this fine gentleman stabs your mom in the heart. He just basically goes out of his way to betray you almost any chance that he gets. Probably one of the most badass fucking dudes you've ever had to face off against, like, you know, and now he needs your help. Do you trust him?
No, I basically think he's going to trade me for his son.
So, hey, Oliver, I'm going to need you to show up. I don't need the hood. I just need to show up as Oliver Queen. No real big reason why. I'm just, you know, and then he trades you.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's just, it's a person for person swap.
I mean, at the end of the day, dude, obviously we saw what everything went down with last season and the season finale and how Slade had kind of turned it around and wasn't kind of this, you know, it wasn't black or white with the character. It was, you know, he was in that gray area of like, you know, shit, he might help, he might not help. So I don't know, man. I just think that was sketchy, though.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Hit me.
Because you guys seem to be all on the same page about whether or not you should trust the guy.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's because you know his mythos from the comic book. Because I trust him. Because he was drugged out. He was on
Mirakuru.
Yeah, it wasn't really him.
Here's the thing. I mean, even though I know his mythos, I still have to look at what we've seen on the show.
He's a smack addict.
I look at it.
I got this Oliver Queen, man.
Hey, y'all got any more of that Oliver Queen, man?
I trade
you my son for some Oliver Queen, man. Yes, I know his background, and I think we all know his background, but I think at the end of the day, we have to go off what we've seen on the show and this version of the character. I definitely...
You don't think he's sincere?
I think in his own way he is, but at the end of the day, dude, he's going to do whatever he can to get his mission done. I mean, that was the whole... You know, I'm jumping ahead here, but that was the whole point of the flashbacks. So I think, you know, and we'll talk about that when we get to that point, but I think this character... you kind of have to go off of what you've seen. It's no different than judging Oliver on what we've seen him do in the show. And I think at the end of the day, yes, I know a lot about Oliver Queen and what he's done in, you know, the comic books, but the fact of the matter is each version that we see on the TV show is different than what we've seen in the comic book. So I think the whole mythos is there of Deathstroke and, you know, that ambiance of, hey, this is fucking Deathstroke. But at the end of the day, I have to look at Slade and go, okay, this is what we've seen him do on the show. He's killed Oliver's mom.
And it didn't help, like, when they brought him back for the finale last year, that we thought he was switching back and forth the whole time.
The whole time.
You're like, he betrayed him already. Oh, wait, no, he didn't. Oh, wait, he betrayed him.
It was weird, dude. I mean, we've seen him basically ruin Oliver's life, like, hands down. He fucking stabbed his mom in front of him.
Yeah, but again, you don't think it's just because he was on the drugs?
No, dude. Mm-hmm. I no matter if you're on drugs or not, it's he not still killed his mom. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was out of his mind.
The guy that cheated on his wife because he was drunk.
No, yeah. That's totally different. He was on the verge of insanity
Let me swing it this way.
Okay, no, let's use another guy for example.
Okay.
The dude that left the show.
Roy Harper?
He had the same effect. Are we going to hold him accountable for all the things he did?
But the thing
is, he was completely a different person.
But the thing is, Roy Harper is a superhero too.
His mom's a shit anyway.
That's a fair point.
But let me put it this way, okay?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like Roy Harper, he was on the Mirakuru, but it wasn't his choice.
Mm-hmm.
Slade took the Mirakuru. Yeah. Like, let's be completely honest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, it was. I don't know.
It makes sense. No.
It is a gray area. I truly do. It is a gray area.
And he's
sure.
a gray character. So it kind of works.
It works because he is a great character. I mean, I one of the things that I was a little interesting to me is like I fully expected like this to be a team up like Deathstroke and all like the Green Hood. And then he's like, nah, nah, nah. I don't need the Green Arrow. And you're just like, bummer. I'm like, this is how he gets the suit. Oh.
But then again, we wouldn't have had that great fight scene by himself.
That's true. God, dude. Can we? All right. Let's take a 5-minute break here and blow that fight scene. I'm going to get there a little early. Obviously, we're way early here, and we'll talk about it again when we get to that
portion.
It's
like one line away.
Oh, is it? Okay. Dude, I'm reading through the notes. Just cut me some slack, okay? That fucking fight scene, and I'm going to say this right now on air on whatever time it is, 8:20. Dude, that was by far the greatest fight scene we've seen on possibly any CW show ever.
I would agree. On the CW? Absolutely.
On the CW.
Yeah.
Like, no joke, dude. That was what I want. And when you watch any type of Deathstroke animation or, you know, like even in Batman Arkham Origins, like that is the type of sequence that you think in the comic books, like cell for cell. That's the kind of sequence you think of when you think Deathstroke. Am I right?
Yeah.
And it's like, finally, we've seen him a few glimpses here and there, but not like this.
No.
That was straight up fucking gangster. And I'm not like, I'm watching it and I was so rock hard watching that, dude. I was just like, oh my God, dude. So fucking good. Am I the only one? No,
I agree. Okay. I don't get excited about a lot of the fight scenes on these shows, but that was fun. I felt like it was a great way to reintroduce the audience to
how badass he is.
Yeah, to Deathstroke, letting us also remember that he's still Deathstroke because they've been trying to play him a little bit of the softer side. He's a different person.
He's changed.
But to see him come back and transform back into who he is,
like
it was so awesome to see that. And you don't even see him initially the way the shot opens up. You just see people flying with gunshots backwards and slow-mo over crank shots. It was very well executed.
And it was also cool because it was the first time we actually get him. They called him the Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
And so it was one of those things where the guy called him, it's been a while since I've seen the Terminator. Yeah. And then he went through the scene looking like the fucking Terminator.
The damn Terminator, yeah. It was, dude, everything about that scene, dude, he front kicks that dude and that dude goes fucking flying.
So I was going to say this. The only thing that I didn't, I loved it. I thought it was great. The only thing that kind of threw me off is there was a pattern to it. It was always stabby, kick, shoot, stabby, kick, shoot.
It's choreographed.
Exactly. There wasn't as much variation as I would have liked to have seen because I know he's capable of doing it.
I agree. I agree to a point. There was one thing that really, like, it was very John Wick. And there, and that, that whole gun-fu thing now is like, you know, that's so huge. What, one of the things I told you guys before we went on air that I loved about that fight scene is whoever did that fight scene really, you know, whoever was like, hey, he needs to have this gun or, you know, this prop.
Like the quality control guy.
The quality control guy really knew his shit because, so that gun that he's using is an MP7. Okay. It's a very small, submachine gun and it shoots a proprietary 4.6 millimeter round. Okay. It's an armor piercing round. So for him to come up and one hand it is what makes it so gangster to me because that's, you can shoot that gun one handed. So for him to full auto and one hand and then like,
that's very dangerous.
Like that whole shot was very well done. And then there was another portion where he has the dude in a headlock and he switches the hands and shoots with the other hand.
Yeah.
And I just like, dude, whoever, like you said, Bob, whoever quality controlled that knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah. It makes for a great argument for gun control as well.
Yes, absolutely. Great argument. Since you cannot actually buy that gun ever, it's not you
really?
Cannot own that. No,
according to U.S.
No. Like
USA Today, you can.
No.
You can also connect a bayonet to it.
Yeah. And a fucking chainsaw as well. Fucking stupid. stupid. But no, I just, you're right. No, Bob, the quality control and the thought process on that.
Because you're always one of the biggest critics about that. Like, even with like things, that guy's uniform. Why is he wearing fucking douchebag camo when he should be wearing, you know?
I'm very stickler about it. Yeah. And I think for me, I think I told you that Steve had one problem with it. I had a problem with it. When he stabs the first guy, he just guts like, and it's real close up. You can see that it went under the dude's arm.
Through the blood packet.
And it's like, okay.
It wasn't perfect.
No,
but,
it wasn't perfect. Yeah. But here's the thing. The whole sequence.
It's all about selling it.
Yes. The whole sequence outweighs some of the problems with it.
And I don't know about you guys, but even though we needed to have that Deathstroke mask on, for me being a Manu Bennett fan, because
you wanted to see his face.
I want to see his face only because I want to make sure, I want confirmation that it was him. The reason why is because that guy worked his ass off during Spartacus. If you remember the Spartacus craze, they were doing all their own stunts.
Yep.
Everything because they were naked half the time when they're fighting. So you can't have a stunt double for these scenes.
Stunt cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no stunt cock in the bad scene.
So you're wondering if it was a stunt man and not actually him.
If it was him, I would have a full.
Which could explain your, you know, wash, rinse, repeat thing. Yeah. You know, if that's what true. He knows.
Right. So exactly. So that's what I'm wondering if it's not a stunt guy. And I'm wondering why that's why possibly it's good because they use him. In the
that
scene.
Would be so sick.
Because
we should tweet him.
That guy is known for just being fantastic with the stunts because of that TV show. And maybe that's why that scene was so fucking good because there was no use of stunt doubles.
Either we tweet him.
I'm doing it now.
Or, and if he doesn't respond, whatever next con we go, we gotta, like, it's gotta happen. We gotta ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we know that guy can do it.
Yeah. There's the thing is, like, he's so talented in what he does. There's no, it would be very, I believe it was him. It has to be him. Right,
but him having that mask on is pretty cool because he took one right to the back of the dome from that one dude.
Well, he was taking the punches to the
Yeah.
That, well, obviously we know the whole suit's bulletproof now.
Yeah,
I didn't know that until.
And apparently the blade, because he was deflecting with that, it looked like
God,
too.
That was so thug. I'm not like I know that's not realistic, but God, dude, that gives me such a boner watching
it
that.
It sells
dude.
The character, man.
It really does, dude. Like. Well, one of the things that sold the character, and obviously we blew that fight scene for 5 minutes, but. One of the things that I wanted to discuss is watching him as an actor. And what I mean by that is the scene where, you know, Oliver basically finds out that Joe is quote unquote, air quote, dead. And he goes back and tells Slade, and you can see the manipulation of his face and like his, you know, his anger rising.
He's got eye control.
He has one eye control, dude. It is amazing, dude. Like, but he shows up, you know, that second time with Oliver and like, dude, him flipping the switch.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I was like, God damn, dude, he is pissed off. Like, not knowing who his father was. I was like, whoa, God shit. That was fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, he's a capable actor too.
Which, he's so good.
Which makes the scenes that much better. And it really made me miss the first two seasons even more because I always harken back to this. And the reason why the first two seasons were so good was because it wasn't just one origin story. It was a dual origin story that was told parallel.
Yep.
It was, and that's what made those first two seasons so good.
Yep.
You saw the rise of the villain and the rise of the hero
at the same time.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that really stood out to me in this episode, and you know, we talked about trusting him and, you know, would you trust him? And I think for him to truly respect Oliver getting out of being, you know, in that portion of his life and drugging him. At first I was like, oh, what the hell? And then I thought to myself, like, that's some mad respect, dude. Like, yes, you know, this is a character that we don't know if he's going back and forth or whatever, but for him to respect Oliver's decision because of his son, that was pretty fucking cool.
And that's where my,
right. That's where you're,
this
you're,
is yeah. where my questioning comes in when it comes to, do we believe him? Is he sincere?
Yeah.
Because he's either playing a long game here, or it is what it is. He does have good intentions. However, when you're dealing with characters that live in that gray area, their good intentions can quickly become something negative.
Well, I look at this character, and this is one of the things that I look at with, you know, there's film characters like this where, yes, they might be an anti-hero or a bad guy, but they respect the warrior, and they respect the warrior's code. And it's like, hey, you know, Oliver, we may have be at odds or we may be at ends, but I respect your decision to get out of this life because of your son. And he goes, and I respect that you're a warrior and you made that decision. So I look at that and I think it adds depth to a character to say, you know, this character is a badass and but at the end of the day, he has respect for someone who lives that warrior code. And if they make a decision, he's going to respect that no matter if he hates that person, mm-hmm. whatever. I think that is one of the things that I really truly like about the character is that that's pretty evident even in the comic books. You know, like he looks at it like, hey, you're a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will not cross that line. There is a line that they won't cross. And I think, you know, you see that in movies nowadays. You see that with the warrior or the Bushido mentality. And I think that's what makes this character way, way more depth to him.
Yeah.
Where you could have him come back as a bad guy or have him come back as an anti-hero. You could have him hit all these facets. And obviously Manu Bennett can play all those versions perfectly. But I think you leave it open to have this amazing character.
Yeah.
Right. And I think we're all in agreement. He's probably one of the best characters on the Arrowverse in general.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he was his original purpose was to stay in Arrow. If we remember, he was supposed to bleed over into the whole Suicide Squad for season 3. Fuck. The entire show was built around him and Oliver.
Don't remind me and make me bummed out that didn't happen.
That's why he comes in so seamlessly and he fits into the show because the show was built for him as well.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I think the only downside to this episode is I fucking totally knew that his son was going to be the leader of the Jackals. Like I saw that coming from fucking miles away. I mean, but I get it. It makes sense. What is the name of his son's character in the comic books? I can never
Jericho.
Remember. That's right, Jericho. I did like that he showed up with did you notice he had the katana on his back? I was like, oh man, that's fucking cool.
Okay, so in the comic books, is he a bad dude? Hit the son?
He's kind of
same.
It's kind of the same deal. He's kind of a mercenary type. He follows in his
anti-hero
dad's
anti-hero gray area.
Yeah.
Except he's a mute.
Yeah, he's a mutant.
A
mute. That's right. He can't talk. Yeah. I'm like,
he's a mutant.
I'm like, he's a mutant. What's his power? Fucking badassness.
Hercules.
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of.
Sorry.
A little extra now. Whoopsies. Obviously, I kind of saw that coming. I mean, it was, you know, it was right there. It was plain as day.
I agree because I saw it from coming from a mile away as well. However, I don't think that was supposed to be where our attention was on. I think our attention was made to be on what decision Slade will make. What will he do with this knowledge?
Dude, I don't know, man. That's a tough one. And obviously we're going to find out at some point. I have no idea. I honestly don't know where they'll go with that. They
Isn't
could do
that cool though about this character?
Yeah. Bro, they could
having a character where you just have no idea what could happen.
Well, that's what makes a great
Sorry,
character.
Oliver, I have to kill you now because, you know, family.
Family, blood.
You picked family. I'm picking family.
Yeah, blood's thicker than water. Sorry, homie. Like, there's so many routes you could take it. He joins them. He doesn't join them. He tries to talk his son out of joint. Like, there's so many routes. And that's what, like you said, Mike, that's what makes it that good. Like, you've got this character who could go 19 different ways, and hell, I think they'd
and
all
we'll
be.
Buy all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't question it. No question.
And what sucks is that, and it's not just people like us who like we're fans of his, but he's very charismatic. So he's doing his job as well as an actor, meaning he needs to win the audience over. And that's what scares me, because the audience is drawn to him. The writers, if they're smart, they will have him make the wrong
choice. Yeah,
because that's what you want from your villains. You want to like them to where it hurts when they make the wrong decision.
Dude, like, it's the typical Anakin story. The character makes the wrong decision for the right reason.
Yeah.
And then you're like, God damn. Like every time I watch episode 3, I'm like, don't fucking do it, Anakin. That's how I feel watching Deathstroke. Please don't. But at the same time, yes. Like it's that typical, character that you like making the wrong decision for the right reason. And it's standard. It's standard, in all of TV, all of movies, but still for some reason, it still hits you right in the fucking feels, dude.
Of course. It's time tested.
Now, we kind of, obviously last season we got away from the flashbacks but in this episode, we got to see a true on flashback. And, I actually liked it. Typically we're really pretty harsh about flashbacks here on the show, but this one actually made sense. And I think you get to see that dynamic of Slade and his son, and how even though, hey, we're going on this trip, father, son, he's still working. He's still doing his quote unquote job.
He's not flying.
He ain't a pilot. That's for damn sure. Now, obviously, we see Slade slit that dude's throat, and his son saw him do it.
Yeah, because
come on.
The whole wrestling in the background.
Yeah, you knew it was him.
It's going to come back next episode.
Yeah, we'll find out that his son was there and saw him, gut that dude. And
that's a well-balanced kid. I mean, how the hell do you manage
to
watch?
Dude, I'd be freaking out.
Exactly. Like, Dad, what did you just do?
Dad, what the fuck? You just slit that guy's throat.
Dad, this is so much cooler than being a pilot.
Yeah, Dad, why didn't you tell me you were a fucking badass?
Can I stab him? Sure, son.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
That's dark.
Did you like how they threw it back to the other mask?
Yeah.
That was cool. That was neat. I like that.
What were they going to do?
I'm just saying. It was neat. I mean, obviously they couldn't do anything else, but it was cool to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude.
But honestly, he didn't really need to wear the entire getup to go kill a guy in the woods.
Nuh-uh. He totally had to. He could have had guns and stuff.
That's so superhero. That's so comic book. For dude, no reason.
I like how fast he got that shit on.
Yeah.
He was like, all right, let's go kill someone. Like, it was.
Son, I gotta go poop.
It's
back.
A big one, son. It's probably like 32 Keurigs.
Yeah, and then if his dad and if kid, what?
Keurigs?
It's a South Park joke. Nobody got that one, apparently.
And if his kid caught him, just like, oh my God, look what I shit out. I shit out a dead person.
Yeah, this guy just, I stumbled across. Dad, why did you change clothes to shit?
No,
don't
shit
worry about that. This guy.
Dad, why are you walking away with that giant duffel bag?
Don't worry about it, son.
There's all kinds of reading material. I just don't know what I'm into right now. The toilet paper, the shovel.
I've got toilet paper. I've got shovel. There's a shampoo bottle that I like to read when I poop.
I got this inflatable toilet that I got to go blow up.
It's fucking stupid. But obviously,
what's that sword for?
Yeah, Dad, why is
for
that sword have
a big
blood?
Old log? Just, won't just drop out of my ass.
Just in case I get attacked by bears while I'm shitting.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta stab a bear. I definitely enjoyed the flashbacks. I think they made sense. Obviously, they were a little weird, but. Other than that, I think they made sense. They added to the episode.
Did you just contradict yourself? I like them. They're a little weird.
They were. Obviously, we're making fun of the fact that he put his suit on in 12 seconds. Like, obviously, there's some continuity stuff there, but whatever.
Narrative-wise,
it made sense. And typically, like I said, we're harsh on flashbacks on the show, but those ones actually were really good.
No, I'm fine with those type of flashbacks.
Those are fine.
Because they make sense to what you're seeing.
Right.
And they're not just there because, oh, this is our formula that we started 6 years ago. Got to stick to it.
Now, let me ask you guys before we go to break, just a question here. And I think we were all thinking watching this episode, was this a backdoor pilot? I swear to God, if it was, dude.
For a Deathstroke series?
Oh my God, dude. Come on.
They do it all the time. That's how Barry Allen wasn't supposed to have his own show.
And then they backdoor piloted straight into it.
We've had so many Island flashbacks, we already know Slade Wilson. It's like,
yeah, but all we need is it can go from the present forward. We know that in the comic book, Slade Wilson is an older dude. So why couldn't we just watch from here on forward, you know, him being Slade Wilson?
Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't mean they need to do it next year. They can do it once Arrow ends, which we already know Arrow's not going to be here forever.
Or Legends is probably going to run its course. You know, we're going to see something eventually just be like, all right, well, we're out of stories.
I'm going to tell you right now, they do a Deathstroke series. And they do it and they give us scenes where he's just whooping everyone's ass like in that.
But you know what? If Berlanti and team does it, they need to make sure it's not on the CW and it's on their new streaming service to where you can be more mature, because that type of show has to be.
I
want to
see arms getting cut off.
It needs to be their answer to Punisher.
Oh, shit.
And they're going to, you know, they always make decisions based on each other.
Bro, if they did it like rated R style, like the Punisher.
If they launch their streaming service with the Deathstroke series, everybody would subscribe.
I would
pirate it, but either way would have an audience.
I'm gonna tell you right now, I would fucking subscribe for that.
I'm not going to, but if that was the show that would be airing immediately,
Just call it Deathstroke the Terminator.
That'd be so good.
Oh God. Anyways. All right, guys. So we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other villains that return this week and some FBI stuff. But first, we'll take a quick break. USAopoly is the company behind your favorite top-quality custom board games made with brands you love. They're your source for authentic and hot pop culture board games and puzzles. They also create award-winning tabletop experiences that will keep your game nights fully entertained with laughter and shareable memories. Brands include Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Star Trek, The Walking Dead, and hundreds of more. Be sure to check out their list of games by heading to USAopoly.com. That's USAopoly.com. All right, guys, we are back and we're going to talk about a couple topics. First one here is, well, Deathstroke wasn't the only, well, air quote, villain to return this week. And we got a little bit of an unmasking, and that is of Vigilante. So let's jump right into this one. Guys, your reaction on finally getting to see who Vigilante is.
Who the fuck was that?
Yes. Okay. Steve?
Yeah. I'm not feeling it.
Mike? All right. Cool.
You blew it!
I agree. Okay. So.
As probably one of the foremost experts on the show, I had no fucking clue who that guy was.
Dude, no idea.
As soon as they pulled off, I was like, oh my God, they're taking out the. Oh, wait.
Who the fuck are you?
What's wrong with your eye? Why? Why do you look like Cable?
Dude, Cable, why do you...
Why the fuck's Cable Vigilante?
That's so weird, dude. Josh Brolin made an appearance. What the fuck?
Yeah, healing abilities and all.
Okay. I'm just gonna come out and say that I fucking hated it. And here's why.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Sorry, is that aggressive?
Just spiked the mic, though.
Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to blow your eardrums out. Fact of the matter is they're 0-2 for me on fucking reveals. They blew... like Mike's drop said, they blew it. I think it was fucking dumb, dude. Like... So first of all, you bring in a character that none of us know who the fuck they is. Like that.
They is. People don't even know who they is.
Dude.
That guy don't take off his mask. You don't know who they is.
Dude, it's so bad. I lost all control of grammar right there. That's how bad it was. The fact of the matter is, and I told you this last season, like towards the finale, when we're like, hey, we need to figure out who Vigilante is. It needs to be a impactful reveal or it's going to suck. And I'm sorry. They fucking sucked. It made no sense, dude. Oh, here's this rando character you don't know. Great. Awesome. I've been waiting fucking how many episodes now for that? Sweet. Great job. Like, it just didn't make any sense, dude.
Put your mask back on.
Yeah, put it back on, dude. I'd rather not know who you are. At least that adds some mystery to what the fuck's going on. I don't know, man. I think they really shot themselves in the foot with that. Wow. Nice drop. I don't know, man. I just... It was dumb, dude. Like, you instantly show us a face, and now you've got to give us a backstory. Like, oh, cool, man. Awesome.
Remember?
Hey, remember? Yeah. Hey, remember that guy that was dying as partner?
And you blew it!
You know, remember? Like, dude, it was just so bad.
And you blow it.
Remember when Canary came?
And you that blow was that it. Guy.
Like, yeah, it was stupid. Okay. All right, we blew it.
I'm angry about it.
I could see. Use your words, not your jobs. No. And he's like, no, yeah, fuck this.
Those are my words.
I don't know, man.
You blew it!
they honestly...
Dude, they had everything going for them.
And then they did this.
They dropped the ball with Prometheus, and I'm like, all right. We still have Vigilante. That's supposed to be the focus, right? For the ultimate reveal... Who is it going to be? When you do these types of reveals, especially one that's not just one season only, they drag it into the second season.
Right.
How is it not directly connected to Oliver Queen, the protagonist lead of the show? Instead,
dude,
they use it as a platform for some bullshit
for side
CW
character.
Emotion yep. side character shit.
Dude, I said it on the season finale last season. That they need to make this an impactful reveal or they are going to fucking shoot themselves in the foot. This reveal was hot garbage. Okay.
It doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make fucking sense. I like Dinah. Absolutely like the character.
She was fine. She was doing.
She was fine.
Who said I don't?
I don't.
He doesn't like really hot characters, apparently.
It's not a matter of how hot.
Why don't you like her?
Why don't you like her?
There's so many goddamn canaries at this point.
Okay, so you're gonna hate her because they messed up the other canaries before. You don't. You're not judging how much you like her off the actual character. You're like, there were two canaries before. Fuck this new one. You're not looking at the new one and saying,
who
I don't like.
Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's like, who the fuck do you
who
think
is that
you
basic is? Bitch putting on that yeah. fucking canary costume?
Well, my point is now they have to do this thing with Vigilante to make her character actually matter in some way.
She has mattered,
but I just don't care about her.
But she has mattered. She's added to the team.
Steve has a valid point though. Like, I do care about her character. Last year, she was a supportive character. What they did with her last year was exactly what a character should do. She was there to help develop Oliver Queen. He is the focus of the show. This has never been an ensemble cast. Just because you have side character here, side character here, side character here, doesn't mean they're there to be the focus. When you're bringing in characters like the Vigilante so that your side character, Canary, can have a purpose in your show, you're fucking up.
Well, I don't disagree, but the way this looked, it looked like it was going a direction and they fucking changed it.
I'm sure they did.
You want to know why? Because I think they've got Felicity. They've got Felicity in Oliver. Actually, I don't hate it, where it's actually makes sense. And they're like, well, we got to have some kind of dysfunctional relationship on the show. So let's change who Vigilante
have
is.
Been Diggle and her about the leadership roles.
Yes.
And that
was working for me.
Yes.
And it should have been Roy Harper in that fucking costume.
They should have red hooded it.
Yep. If they would have red hooded it,
ooh,
that would have been, you called that last season.
It was,
dude,
the only answer.
It was because it's impactful for the goddamn show.
That would have been good.
Yeah. It just, I think. You're taking away these reveals. So one of the things that I loved about the shows is like the reveals always really, they try to hit you, you know, like, oh fuck, it's that person. These last two reveals were fucking garbage, yeah, dude.
Oh fuck, it's that person. Oh fuck, it's that person.
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, that doesn't make any damn sense. I don't know, man.
Again,
Mike's drop is pretty much the right drop for this whole segment. But I mean, guys, you wasted a character. First of all, Vigilante was cool. I mean, he was.
He still is cool, but do you remember what he meant?
Yes.
What he meant last year?
Yes.
Oliver not doing enough.
He was a wild card.
Is he doing enough? It was. He was there to pose questions for the audience.
Yeah. And now
is Oliver doing enough? Is he doing too much?
Yeah.
Like he was the balance. He was the question mark that made Oliver think. What path should I go down? He had a point. Now you turned him into something.
A love
for
story.
Yes.
Yep.
They should have made Prometheus twins.
Dude, that actually,
and
that's
he would have taken
a...
off his mask because remember, like when they met up, he's mine. Don't kill him. And they would have had some kind of link together.
I actually don't hate
it
that.
It would have been better than this one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, dude, if you really want my full truth, they should have never took his mask off. He should have. We don't know who the fuck he is.
He could have been a cyborg and it would have been better than what they did.
He could have been like the samurai dude in Flash.
Why wear a mask if you can get shot in the face and it doesn't kill you?
Dude, what's up with, okay.
Right.
The fact of the matter is he just got that. He just got that. That took a while, but he got it.
He wants to hide his identity.
Yeah, dude. He wants to wear that cool visor. The
as
fact
it fogs up as he's breathing he's inside like, it.
The fact of the matter is, dude, is what they should have done. There's a couple routes they could have went here that were, could have been, Roy Harper could have been one of them. The twin thing is not a bad idea. Two, it could have been where Vigilante is a character that we don't know who he is till next season.
Yeah.
Just keep him completely enigmatic where we don't know who the fuck he is. And we're just like, who is this guy? And he keeps fucking showing up.
Yeah. Draw it out.
Draw it out. And then, you know, maybe give us some hints.
Maybe Chicago Fire gets canceled and or Chicago Med and Tommy could come back.
Yeah. Like, God damn, dude. It's just one of those things, man. Like even Tommy. What?
Yeah. That
God
would have been a great pull.
Fuck. Why don't they listen to our show? Sons of bitches.
Unfortunately, they have to accommodate their demo. And their demo wants naive, for the most part, their demo wants immature relationships. And to take a character, to, for me, this is my, it always comes down to writing for me. And when you take a character like Dinah that has been so level-headed.
And turn her into a sobbing little girl.
She's been so level-headed. She helped Oliver through things with her talking and her discussion. She's helping Diggle through things.
Right.
She is the, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the balance. She brings.
Balance to the force?
No. She is the sounding board.
Look,
she brings common sense and reasoning, and she discusses things with people. She's a great character for that. Let her be the sounding board character. If you need to find purpose for a character, let her be that. You don't need to give your character so that she can be important a needless love story.
Dude, not only that, but she's the eye candy for us guys. She's like doing fucking shit and, you know, like sports so bras and stuff.
So
like,
stupid.
Come on. But how's that stupid? That's awesome.
Let's even look at this from a liberal standpoint, okay? Oh, which is what a lot of the writers are in CW, okay? No, let's look at this from a liberal standpoint. We want strong women, right? Strong women that don't need to swing from cock to cock, right? Why give her a story where she needs a dick to swing on?
Yeah, she didn't need that. She was
strong and independent as she was.
And she kicked ass.
But if you wanted drama, and I think you guys might have talked about this before, why was there not something with her and Diggle? It was the obvious thing that I thought we were going to have happen.
Because Diggle's happily married, dude.
I know, but the play
on that line.
But you can play on that, though. Yeah. You can play on that. I'm not saying I agree with Steve. Let's not go there, maybe. Let's not have Diggle pull out the Diggle. But let's question that.
Let's be honest. As soon as he pulled out the Diggle and hit her with that, it's over, dude. Like, once you go Diggle.
She's going to go her canary cry.
Dude, as soon as he puts it in.
Oh. Well, they didn't have to like go like full on a relationship started, but it could have caused some drama,
sexual tension.
Exactly.
I'd rather,
I'm not talking immature sexual tension like Felicity and Oliver. I'm talking about realistic relationships, how they happen in the workplace.
Yeah, right. Like just, you know, you see the outline of his dick and it's like, God Jesus damn. Christ. Right. Is that, that's not
am
like,
I right, guys? Am I right?
Like, right? Right?
You have to be turned on by the outline of a dick.
I like how he's focusing on that and not on Dinah. It's like anything dealing with her.
Oh, wait, what?
Ryan didn't say one thing about Dinah during that whole thing.
It's all dude, we're talking about Diggle.
It's all about Diggle's penis.
Bro, we're talking about Diggle. I thought we were all on the same page about Diggle. Like, it's Diggle.
And I think the worst thing about this is
your pages are stuck together, clearly.
Is that this is almost what, 5 years later?
Right.
From the, you know, the particle accelerator blast.
Dude, like
yeah. Right.
It's not even like it's a new
it makes me want to Adrian Chase myself. Like, boom, like fuck. Like it's just so bad, dude.
I like that one. Can we tweet that out, Bob?
Yes.
Like it's so bad.
We gotta make a GIF. That's
Bob, you need to tweet that. Like the Vigilante reveal made me want to Adrian Chase myself. Dude, please do it.
All right, going out.
You can quote me on that one. I just the fact of the matter, dude, is it was bad, and I think they're 0-2 now in reveals, and they need to do something quick if they're gonna keep doing this mystery bullshit.
Just don't do it.
If it's not
your cup of tea, if it's not in your wheelhouse of creative talents, don't do it.
If you're going to do it, make sure it's impactful where the viewer goes, oh, fuck, man. Tommy, Roy Harper, all these characters that we want to see come back. If you're going to bring them back, fucking bring them back.
There
and
are
make
so many choices, Brian. So many. And
the original Black Daddy.
Wait, what?
I can't remember his name.
Which one?
The one that tried to take over Queen Consolidated.
Oh, yeah.
See, even he would have been cool because you forgot about him. He would be cool.
Yes.
Just go back to season
Holy
one.
Holy shit. That would have been good.
God damn it, dude. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Fucking dicks.
I don't know what they're thinking over there besides, hey, how can we spin this to our demo?
Dude, they've got to worry about that, and they got to worry about the bullshit FBI director, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Which, go ahead. It's your show. I don't want
to. No. Go ahead. Honestly, I'm over this. And this is why I'm over this. How many times have we seen on this show in the last six seasons? Oh, no, someone might figure out that he's the fucking Arrow and now the whole team's in jeopardy. Oh, my God. Like, dude, they'll figure out a way to get out of it. Like,
yeah.
Come on. I'm so over it, dude.
And that's my problem. I get that you have to write yourself into problems because you have to have a show.
It makes sense. It made sense in the first two, three seasons. But now,
you know why it doesn't make sense? The biggest reason why it doesn't make sense is number one. Argus, you are backed by a government agency.
An unknown government agency.
You are sanctioned by them. They know of what you do. You've worked for them. Diggle is married to the one who runs Argus, and you're telling me they're going to sweat the FBI. If I was Oliver and Diggle, I'd be like, poof.
Yeah.
We have Argus who's going to shut you down. They're going to shut your entire investigation down.
You're fired. By the way, guess what? You're fired now because Argus took care of that.
I don't understand why they're creating this type of drama through the FBI, which makes no sense.
It literally makes no fucking sense. I would guess.
Are we alone in this? Because like Steve, Bob, do you guys agree with that or?
I'm doing some research here to see if there's anybody FBI DC Comics that could ever come out of like left field to make this work.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking it's going to be a Helix thing where they were releasing stuff to get the team under investigation.
I mean, that's
the only
possible way
I could see the story working, that they're getting tips or some kind of information on them that's making them lead towards this.
How did that picture of Oliver get leaked?
But even then, let's put this into perspective, okay? So let's say Argus is essentially the Pentagon. Let's just say.
Okay.
For real life terms, okay? Right. The Pentagon can interfere in any investigation and shut it down immediately.
Yep.
Hey, this is a secret ops that we run, that we allow
to run.
These
are black ops. You don't need to know about.
So guess what?
Yeah.
It's shut down or you don't have a career. Case closed. It's over.
Yeah. Go back to, whatever the FBI does on a regular basis. Okay. See you later.
What if she's rogue and Oliver did something to her?
See, I would like that.
Like family.
She could have been vigilante and I would have been all about it.
She should have been vigilante. Yeah.
I would have been all about it, dude. I'd have been like, oh, shit.
See, make it personal. Yeah. Then it makes
little
sense.
Apple puffs popping out the side of the mask.
Oh, man.
Oh man, she gets shot in the forehead and the afro comes out of the hole and the bullet. Is that fucked up?
Bob's on a roll with racism this
week. Yeah, he is. He's hitting racism hard.
Stereotypes, not racism.
That's true. Good point. Oh, okay. But I don't know, man. I don't know where this is going to pay off. I don't see where we're going with this. I don't understand.
It's got to have a payoff though.
It has to be Helix. It has to be linked into that or it makes no fucking sense. And it's just there to create drama. And if it's there to create drama,
Is it really creating drama or is it just like,
it's annoying.
It's like, oh, I have to go do this. And like Felicity didn't say shit. Like
that wasn't a
thing.
Jokes.
It was like, oh, you've been subpoenaed. Do I have to go?
She was there for 5 seconds.
She was like, I got tea. Gotta go.
Yeah, like, dude, okay, first of all, I don't know how this works because I've never been questioned by the FBI, but I'm pretty sure when you get questioned by the FBI and you get a text, you're not allowed to leave. You can't just get up and leave. Like, I just don't.
If you're not under arrest.
Well, it's a subpoena, so you still have to show up. When's the last time you got questioned by the FBI?
Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
Can't talk about it.
Oh, it's G17 classified, huh?
So who's that one cat you... I don't watch Legends. Who's that guy on Legends that has a star on his chest? What's that guy's name?
Captain America?
Citizen Steel?
Citizen Steel, yeah.
All right. Because there is a guy from the FBI in the DC-verse called Jeffrey Graves that's Mr. America.
Yeah.
That ain't gonna happen.
That ain't happening.
Not on Arrow. Maybe on Flash.
They've gone way off the deep end in other ways. Why not?
Yeah, they made some fucking rando dude fucking vigilante. Yeah, they went off the deep end.
I think this show should just focus on what really works. And it's
Oliver.
It's Oliver. yeah. and Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Like if they want to have, I'm not saying you have to put away your other side characters, but they need to be written.
Focus on the ones we give a shit about.
Yeah. Like what's the definition of a supportive character?
They're there to support.
Yes. Like stick to that. Focus yeah. on what people really care about on the show. And guess what? You will be writing some of the best television that will be around for years. Yeah. But when you deviate, look at a show like Supernatural. What do they always focus on, Ryan? No matter what. They focus on the characters.
The main characters.
Gay relationships between the main characters.
They focus on the characters no matter what. And that's why the show has managed to stay around.
Stupid.
Tumblr.
So, Tumblr, yeah, Reddit. So, let's go ahead and jump into our final thoughts. Let's keep these quick. You know what? Mike, go first. He's like, fuck. I didn't want to go first.
Overall, despite the last 15 minutes, I felt like it was a solid episode. Anytime they bring Oliver and Deathstroke into the same scene together and their stories work together, it's always gold. It always works. It never fails. It's what the show is built on. That's why it works so well. I feel like they kind of missed the mark on some things. Whenever they deviate too far away from Oliver and his story, I feel like they start hurting. I think the show becomes interesting. It feels a bit contrived because you're trying to find purpose for all of your side characters. And that's about it. The fight scene was good. Deathstroke was good. That's my final thoughts, Ryan.
All right. So, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
For me, it was like they try to do like the dual story with the weird reveal of somebody you thought was dead at the end for both of them. You know, her Canary with the vigilante and then Slade with Joe. And it was fucking poorly conceived. I think the vigilante thing just it blew it. If you could cut out, it's one of those things. It's like, can we get the vigilante free episode of Deathstroke Returns where they just edit out all that shit? And it's probably the best Arrow we've seen. It was so hard when that mask came off and your instant. That's why I put it in there. What was your instant reaction? We all had the same thing. Who the fuck that guy?
Yeah.
You know? And again, they built up this character and they just screwed it up with that reveal. And but Manu Bennett, awesome. Good to see him back. Love that part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Bob. If they just had that whole chunk with Vigilante not in the story,
it would have made it better.
It would have been a perfect episode.
I can't add anything. I think that's true. I mean, it really took away from the episode that would have been fucking unreal. So again, I mean, a solid episode, but at the end of the day, the vigilante thing just was terrible. It really was.
And the sad thing is the vigilante thing is the one that's going to continue.
Yeah. Not the fucking thing that we want. Stupid. Yeah. Adrian, chase yourself. So with that, guys, that's going to do it for today's DC on CW Arrow edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through Rayman Digital app. Follow us on Twitter at DC on CW, Facebook.com/DC on CW, Instagram DC_on_CW. And with that, guys, we'll see you next week. Don't Adrian chase yourself.
Not in the mood for chit chat. Gotcha. Ready when you are.